She ready? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 21st of February in 2022, and this is the regular Town of Curry Beach Town Council meeting. John, do you have an invocation for us?
I do. Please join me in prayer. God of justice and mercy, thank you for the gift of life and the opportunity to serve the people of our town. Help us to act with character and conviction. Help us to listen with understanding and goodwill. Help us to speak with charity and restraint. Give us a spirit of service. Remind us that we are the stewards of your authority. Guide us to be the leaders your people need. Help us to see the humanity and dignity of those who disagree with us, and to treat all persons, no matter how weak or poor, with the reverence your creation deserves. And finally, Father, renew us with the strength of your presence and the joy of helping to build a community worthy of the human person. We ask this as your sons and daughters, confident in your goodness and love. Amen.
Amen. Pledge of Allegiance, please stand and join us. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, gentlemen, please review the consent agenda items and let me know if there's anything you would like to change, remove, add, or discuss.
Not me.
Make a motion, we approve as submitted.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the consent agenda is approved as submitted. Moving on to the adoption of the agenda, if you'd review the agenda, please, and let me know if you have any recommended changes to the agenda.
I have two adds. 9.4, stormwater agreement for maintenance between the Beachwalk HOA and the Town of Curry Beach. And under new business, 10.3, stormwater permit fees for transfer and construction.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda with the additions as Commissioner Hagler outlined.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, two additions to 9.4 and 10.3. Okay, so let us move into the depth of the meeting. Public comment. Do you have anybody signed up for public comment, Mandy?
We do not.
Okay. How many people are on the line?
Hold on, let me get back. Sorry, I've got a presentation up next. Two.
Okay.
One's probably Jimmy.
Jimmy's the third.
Okay.
Okay. All right, then. Let's move into presentations. We have the Island Chamber of Commerce, Carrie Jones and Garner Von Cannon.
Slight change, Leanne.
Oh, okay, Leanne. If you would please tell us what you would like to do and what you expect from us.
All right. So, hello and good evening. I am Vice Chair for the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce. Carrie, who we've already introduced, is a Chamber Board member as well as the Chair for the Cape Fear Kite Festival. Okay. We also have several other people representing us today. We have Lynn Willis, who is our Treasurer. We have Garner Von Cannon, who you mentioned already. And we also have Cindy Washington here.
Okay.
So, we came fully prepared.
Yes,
and
you
excited.
Did.
First off, we just want to thank you for taking the time to see us today. We have a little video playing in the back just to give you some idea of some of the things which I'm sure most of you are aware and have attended, some of the events and different activities that we do here on Pleasure Island. Just a little bit about the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce. We were formed in 1975 as a nonprofit organization focused on enhancing the quality of the citizens of Pleasure Island through promotion of tourism and the economic development of Carolina and Curry Beaches and the contiguous communities, including South Junction, Fort Fisher. We are a 501c6 nonprofit organization, and we rely heavily on our amazing volunteers, generous donations, and RIT funding from our partnerships with our local community. The town of Curry Beach has always been a central partner for the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce, and in turn, we've been able to host some amazing events, in Curry Beach and in Fort Fisher and all over Pleasure Island. We focus our mission over the last several years, and we're pleased to offer Pleasure Island some amazing events, business workshops, ribbon cuttings, networking opportunities. This year, some of the things that we plan to do is to host the 36th Annual Beach Music Festival, which brings over 2,000 people to Pleasure Island who stay here, go to our businesses, and enjoy our amazing community. We also will be offering a community golf tournament. We'll be offering a Pets in the Park event, which will be the second year for that event. And one of our favorite events is the free summer concert series, which I know you all know very well, that is in the Fort Fisher area. And that event has been going on for quite some time, and Ms. has always been a wonderful partner for that event. This year will be the second year that we will be hosting the Cape Fear Kite Festival. The Kite Festival has been going on for 11 years?
15 years.
Right. So, but this will be the second year that the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce will be hosting that event. And Carrie just wanted to give you guys a little bit of information about that event.
So the Cape Fear Kite Festival is a nationally recognized event, and it's held every year the first weekend of November. Last year was the first time, as Leah mentioned, that we were hosting the event, although the event got canceled due to high winds and driving rain. We were still able to host over 30 flyers and their families at the Courtyard by Marriott. We were also initially able to sell out of the hotel before it got canceled. And we had 2 days of kite displays, mini kites making. We had a little kite history. The kiters came out and put all their kites up, and that was really something to see. That was just a quarter of their kites that they showed that day. The 2022 Cape Fear Kite Festival will attract an estimated of 20 to 30,000 folks to Pleasure Island and our beautiful beach, where they'll enjoy live music, food trucks, kite displays, and hand-on activities like our kit making workshop for kids. The Kite Festival is one of the largest on the East Coast and is sure to pack our hotels and local businesses. The Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce will provide all the volunteers, the paid staff, music, food trucks, the organization of the event, the marketing of the event, and the parking assistance for the 2 days of the event. So it's a big deal, and we're excited to put it on this year. And like Harry said, this is our only 2-day event, so very excited, encourages people to come to our community, to stay in our community, to go out in our community, and support our businesses. We are requesting this year $19,800 in funding, and I have the packet here, and I'm sure you can send that too. The funds requested will help to offset the cost of the Kite Festival, as Carrie mentioned, and all the things involved with the organization and success of that event. It will also help to offset the cost of our 6 free concerts that I mentioned earlier that will be held in Fort Fisher. This event is from 6:30 to 8:30. It includes popular bands, food trucks, dancers, and of course the beautiful sunset in Fort Fisher, which is kind of a niche to that event. This event usually draws 200 to 300 visitors a night. Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce will provide paid staff volunteers, sound equipment, marketing, and parking facilitation for each one of those events. As we said before, and I'd like to reiterate, that we really appreciate the support, and it is because of the partnership that we have with towns like Curry Beach that over the last almost 50 years now, the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce has
been able to host these events and provide our businesses with essential information for business growth, community development, local and state legislation, and we look forward to continuing to do this. We are asking this year for just over $6,500 more than what we requested last year, and this is because of increased cost in sound fees, music fees, marketing, and labor, which you will also find all that information in our packet that we're turning in today. And just in closing, we would just like to say it's a really exciting time to be part of this community. There's so much growth, so many new things happening. Just this weekend alone, it was just a flurry of people in the middle of February. So it's a very exciting time for the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce. It's an exciting time for our businesses. We really appreciate your continued support with our organization. Do you have questions for us?
I have one question. I'm curious. How many members do we have in the Chamber of Commerce?
In the Chamber of Commerce, to date, we have just under 200 members.
Oh, around 200.
And we're continuing to grow monthly. We're very excited about that number because there was a point in time, obviously, COVID hit us just like everyone else, and members had to make choices not so long. So we're rebuilding, and we're really happy with that.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
Have you got your request into our finance department by the...
Got it right. There's a gentleman with it.
You're the person.
Right there. Hand it to him.
Thank you so much for your time.
And you're on time. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for what you do for the island.
Thank you.
Okay, committee business. Bike Ped Advisory Council.
It's Garner tonight.
Okay. Okay, Garner, what you got?
Our chairman is out of town. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the step-in for Mo. I'm Garner Vine Cannon, and I'm here to speak about I'm a member of the Bike Pedestrian Committee for Cure Beach. And so I'm here to speak about what we've been doing and to ask a request. So in the 2021/2022 budget, Town Council approved $40,000 for the installation of some flashing crosswalks at sites to be determined, and the Bike Pedestrian Committee is ready to move forward with the location and installation of at least two crosswalks in town. The committee is requesting permission to meet with the NCDOT to discuss adding the flashing crosswalks at M Avenue, where the post office is, and I Avenue, which is a busy crossing with paved parking. Commissioner Oliver and town staff and some selected committee members will schedule a meeting with NCDOT to get their approval and the requirements. We will then get estimated cost and return to the council for approval. The committee will evaluate and report to the council other crosswalk areas for improvement once the bicycle pedestrian plan is adopted. So that's our request. We also want to update on the bicycle pedestrian plan schedule is as follows. We had a date of February 18th, which was the target master plan draft sent to town and committee for comment, and we have received that, so we're ready to go with that. March 4th will be the town and committee comments sent back to Alta. March 11th will be the draft of the master plan posted for public view and comment period. And March 21st, we'll have Alta to present the draft master plan to the council at a meeting beginning at 6 p.m. March 31st will be a time for public comment, or public comment period will close. April 18th will be our adoption of the bike pedestrian master plan at the town council meeting. And the finalization of the plan in early April. May 25th, Alta will meet with the WMPO to adopt our final master plan. That's our schedule of events for that. We also have one other item that we've been working on, and that's the location of memorial benches. Mayor Blazinski requests the committee to make a recommendation for the location of memorial benches on town property. The committee recommends the following locations, but we're not limiting it to just this location. The town tennis courts, the basketball courts, the dog park, or the playground area. All of these are at Joey's Park. Also, Spot Lane Connector, we'd like to talk about that one. I Avenue Well House, if that's allowed. And the E Avenue parking lot and town hall would all be good options. So we have come up with some, and we know there may be more that we can look into, but this is what we have so far.
Okay. Thank you for that effort. Thank you. Because you do have people who would like to know where they can put memorial benches. So thank you for, at least it was my picks, you guys that came forward with a variety of picks. Now, I think the committee is asking for permission from the council to meet with the North Carolina Department of Transportation. How do you feel about that? I don't have a problem with that.
No, we just thought we'd keep, we're doing this to make sure everybody understands what we're doing and knows what we're doing. So I'll make that motion to allow us to talk with NCDOT.
I'll say it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, the pedestrian plan, well, that draft was sent to Sean in our recreation department this week. Okay. He's getting ready to send it out to people for review and how we're going, and everybody's going to send their, so you'll be getting an email with that draft plan to send the comments back to him. We're on kind of a tight schedule, and then but we do have the draft in hand. We received it, what, 4:59 on Friday afternoon, I think, and I really haven't had a chance to look at it yet either. And then the 25th, since the WMPO paid for the plan, they're the ones that get to look at it last after we get finished with it. So,
okay.
So I was going to ask Alan if this organization or the committee is on the MPO's calendar for that day.
The WMPO staff will take care of getting that. Abby and them will get that on the agenda and everything.
So, yeah, March 4th. When are you sending it to the rest of council?
When should send it out today or tomorrow.
Yeah, you would ask them to try to get a Word document. So
yeah, we're trying to get a Word document. They sent it to us in a PDF.
Okay.
So we're trying to get it in a Word document. So hopefully tomorrow we're going to have it out to everybody.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing for the town. Community Center Committee. Okay, Community Center Committee is heavily engaged in the 75th anniversary work. And actually, I know when you come up, Nick, you're going to talk about what they're looking at. So I think you came up with some good ideas with a little bit of guidance from Nikki and Sean. Historical Preservation Commission.
Yeah, the only real point here is that we had to postpone our mock COA. Quasi-judicial hearing from February until March, so we'll have it in our March meeting if anybody wants to be part of that. It should be a lot of fun. Fairly stressful, I'm sure.
It's pretty good education.
Jim will be running it, so I'm sure.
Yeah, I think our attorney will be teaching us something there. When is your meeting in March? Do you know?
Second Wednesday in
it's March 2nd.
March.
Yeah, just let us
first Wednesday in March.
Make sure we know about it so we can. I want to come watch your.
Yeah, I want to see Jim at work.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Okay.
You can see how well they do under pressure.
Yeah, well, don't make it too tough. Land use plan.
That's me now. Yes. So, land use plan had the committee had to cancel our last meeting because of. COVID, we had an exposure to one of the staff members. So we're meeting this Thursday.
This Thursday.
And discussing a couple more chapters, so we'll report back next month.
Okay. How close are we to completion?
I think we have like maybe one more section they got to get out to us. I mean, they're still very much, they feel like they're within their target to get it done on time and everything.
Okay.
So we're moving right along.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Okay, marketing committee.
John?
Nothing? Okay.
There's something on there.
Yeah, right? On the agenda you have the increase of members from 5 full members with 1 alternate to, I believe, 7 full members. You brought it up.
That's what we talked about last month, right?
We talked about it last month.
You did.
They did the request, so.
And we approved that request.
Tomorrow, so that we're trying to, they're going to be interviewing some of their applicants. So they just need to know the final number.
All right.
We need a motion to, I'll make a motion that we agree with the marketing committee's position that they can change their membership from 5 full members and an alternate to 7 full members.
A second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Parking Committee. Parking Committee has been very engaged with the premium, and we have met reviewing last year's successes and last year's failures. We actually, as a council during the retreat, have designed the new parking program for the year of 22. Excuse me. There are very few changes. I think the only change really was the people who work in town can get a season pass for $75 as opposed to $100. In any case, once those minutes are approved, and that should be shortly, I will put a letter out to the community explaining what the program is. If you live here, you have nothing to worry about. It's essentially the same as it was for you last year. You have to register. You can register 2 vehicles. It'll be $20 each and so forth. It's already approved by council, just waiting for it to be published. So we're hoping on a successful year like we had last year.
May I add something?
Yes, sir.
I agree with all of that. We talked last meeting about the issue of e-vehicle stations where you could plug in.
Yes.
That issue being transferred over to the parking committee.
Yes.
And I guess it's still up in the air, but I did see in the news this week that all of this free money that's coming out of Washington, they have enacted a bill that you can apply for funds to have those e-charging stations, e-vehicle charging, put in basically free.
I mean, that's a good point, John. We'll have to look into it. I know that the one bill was to, I think it was $1.3 billion to put them every so many 2 miles or 3 miles apart on all of the interstates. I was not aware that they had a local EV bucket.
Yeah, I'd have to dig it out, but I'll try to find it.
Yeah, if you do find it, please send it to me.
They broke that billion into the states. Mm. Carolina broke it into the counties.
Okay.
And so New Hanover County has a number that they can deal out to the communities, and I think
is the MPO going to look at that? Or are they going to be involved in that?
We haven't talked about it yet because I think it's new.
Okay.
Since our meeting is this coming Wednesday, 2 days from now. But if we were to do that, I think it would get visitors. I mean, if people knew that Curie Beach had some places where
charging stations,
charge your car. It would help draw people to Lakeland.
You're right. The parking committee has not taken this up yet because we're focused on this year. We will probably get together and discuss, one, what recommendation could we give the council? One, do we perceive value? How many would we require and where would we put them? So all of that would be with a few of our local citizens who have helped me out through this pretty difficult process. But yeah, John, I'm very interested in knowing if there's free money out there for...
It's not free, but...
Well, no, it's not free. We paid for it. If we're going to get some of our money back,
fair enough. Or our
then we could take a look at that.
So when you're looking at where, can you just ask Duke Energy where they'd recommend?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because, I mean, that's going to be how you connect those things is the issue.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. That's true. It's a good thing we have the electrical engineer here to help us with that one. Okay. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you. I'm going to do a little presentation on fencing issues and just a little bit of a background on why we're here talking about this. At the last P&Z meeting, we had an application for a text amendment relating to the fencing. We had a lively discussion. We recommended not to pass or not to recommend that particular language be submitted. And it is not before you tonight, so I assume it was withdrawn to see what this discussion would entail right here. So we may have to do that again. I'm sure it'll be probably rewritten in terms of the context because we had a number of different issues from a variety of different perspectives. But anyway, as part of that, John had mentioned that you know, oftentimes he gets requests for fences, particularly down the side yard and all that sort of thing. So just as a very quick reminder, first of all, a text amendment doesn't just affect that one person. It affects all of Kerry Beach, so we have to look at it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. But the other issue, too, is that we currently have an ordinance regarding fences in the residential areas. And I'm going to summarize it very quickly, but basically it allows 6 feet in the backyard being defined from the points of the corners in the backyard, and then 4 feet in the side yards and the front yards. And some folks would like to extend that 6 yard or that 6 foot height further in the side yards and so forth. So what I did, and I've talked to John about this, and John is aware of this particular study, is I, over the last 2 weeks or so, I looked at about 20 smaller resort-type towns, mostly beach towns, but some inland towns and mountains. You know, and I looked at things like what are the top small towns in North Carolina, and looked at those. So in North Carolina, I looked at 5 towns, Riceville Beach, Sunset Beach, Southport, Highlands, and Banner Elk. Again, trying to look at towns that are about the same size as Kerry Beach and, you know, the same type of ambiance and that sort of thing. South Carolina, I looked at Hilton Head, Pawleys Island, Sullivan's Island. In Indiana, I looked at West Lafayette because they have a big influx of students, and I thought that'd be kind of interesting, and it's considered a very nice town, too. California, I looked at 2 beach towns and 1 inland town. New England, I looked at 3 beach towns, and Virginia, I looked at, like, Chincoteague and one or two other towns, too. And basically, I'll define it from the backyard. Everybody that I looked at allowed a 6 foot in the backyard. That was fairly standard. You know, I saw one that had 7 feet, but everybody else had to have 6 feet, so there's no real issue related to that. In the front yard, again, we allow 4 feet in the front yard the way that it is right now. That was actually one of the more lax, if you will, but we allowed more than most of the towns. Many of the towns either had no fence allowed in the front yard. I found one that had 2.5 foot fence allowed. Several of them had 36 inches. Waxhaw Beach, I believe, had 42 inches. And then I did find several in Kerry, including Kerry Beach, that had 48 inches within the front. Many of the ones that did allow fences in the front yard had a required setback before you could have the fence, for example, 10, 15, or even 20 feet as a setback before you could have that front yard, if a fence was allowed. The one that really kind of affects us in terms of these discussions with John, as well as the text amendment application, is that transition from the 4 feet to the 6 feet and where that happens and how it happens. So what I did is, again, I looked at these, and some did allow the 6 foot in the side yard. However, should note that many of the ones that did allow 6 feet in the side yard had a restriction that side yard 6 foot would not be allowed on the street side of a corner lot. For example, Sunset Beach would allow that to come in the side yard up a certain point, but not for the street side of a corner lot. Again, you know, I think most people recognize that you want to have some control over the fences from the street view type of thing. Some allow 6 feet to start either 5 or 10 feet after the beginning of the front corner. So it wouldn't start right at the side yard. For example, Sunset Beach again allows, I think, either 5 or 10 feet behind the start of the front of the house. And then you can have 6 feet after that proceeding into the backyard. Some allowed other type of transitions. There were some really interesting ones, like for every 20 feet away from the front yard, you could go up a foot. So you might have 3 feet, and 4 feet, and 5 feet, and all that sort of thing. That just seemed kind of awkward when I looked at that. And some did have, like Kerry Beach, that you could only have the 6 feet within the backyard. So, you know, there's certainly a variety, and I would have to say probably equal in terms of number between those five different things. One of the interesting things I did see is that almost everybody had a materials requirement and that chain link fences were not allowed. You know, everybody that I looked at in all these towns, chain link fences were allowed in agricultural locations and around tennis courts and that sort of thing, but not as the material within the front yard or even the backyard type of fences. So, we do allow, I mean, you do see chain link fences here in Kerry Beach. So the question is, we currently have an ordinance. We defined it, it was kind of tweaked a little bit, I think about 5 or 6 years ago. And the idea of tweaking it or having it where the 6 feet starts at the backyard is really to be consistent with the HOA. Now, most of the HOAs in Kiri Beach don't allow any fencing in the front yard, and they allow, say, 4 foot fencing within the backyard. And they define that sort of thing as being at the backyard, the points, the corner points of the backyard. So essentially what Kiri Beach did when we put together the ordinance is that we wanted to be consistent with that kind of thinking, but again, allow 6 feet starting in the backyard and then 4 feet in the side yard and the front yards. So the question is, I think that because John has had some discussions, we do have this text amendment that, again, is not before you. I think they're waiting to see what happens. And we do have a variety of opinions. Some of the opinions of the PMZ is that our current ordinance is perfectly fine, just leave it the way it is. Some of the other folks may be willing to kind of look at maybe a minor modification and so forth. Is to get the direction from the council. Is that, do you think that our existing ordinance is perfectly fine the way that it is? Or would you like us to revisit this and maybe look at something like Sunset Beach's type of regulation? So just getting some direction. Because, I'm anticipating we'll have a revised text amendment before us at the next PMZ. There is a difference of opinion in terms of the PMZ, but obviously we just recommend sort of things to the town council when it comes to this type of ordinance. So that's kind of the presentation, and just like to get feedback as to whether you think we should revisit this issue or you feel comfortable with the existing ordinance.
I've got a question for you. Did you look at lot sizes or... we're pretty dense here.
Right.
So, and would have...
Generally, and I can speak on this, is I simply looked at residential zoning here. I mean, some of these towns have agricultural components where they do allow different type of fencing. From my looking at this, clearly the more dense type of communities have stricter fencing. You know, the idea is you don't want a lot of fencing in the front yard. It's not very aesthetic. It probably decreases property values and that sort of thing. The communities that were a little more agricultural, had agricultural components, would allow different type of fencing. But when you look at the residential, almost all the towns that I looked at, again, had that 6 foot restriction in the back. Some allowed side yard to go up a little bit higher, and almost all of them had some, I would say almost everyone had some sort of restriction in the front yard.
Yeah, I'm thinking, make sure we got apples to apples.
No, certainly everything that I looked at, I wasn't looking, for example, at, a county regulation. We have a variety of different things.
Any opinion from you gentlemen?
So what put it on your radar? I assume someone came and asked, right?
Yeah, and it's something that we've, over the last several years, we've looked at different text amendments that have come to us. You know, people have dogs. They have other sort of things. Some people just want to have a taller side yard. Type of fence, and generally it's probably pet oriented sort of thing. And so since we did have a discussion, we did have a formal application for a text amendment, and that any text amendment does affect all of Kiri Beach. It's not a simple one off type of thing. We felt that talking with John that I think that the text amendment application was not put forward to the council tonight because we wanted to see what your feedback was. I mean, if you feel that the current ordinance is fine, we'll certainly take that back. Or if you think that you want us to kind of revisit this a little bit, maybe look at some other ways of doing this, then we'll take that back to PMZ.
I think I would be okay with you taking a look at it. I think you have a couple interesting points there, like extending potentially maybe on the side of the home between the two houses, not necessarily on the street side of the home. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, there could be value there for privacy, rental properties. I could be open to good ideas to offer value to the citizens.
But without changing the street view or the ambiance?
Yes. I think the street look is important.
We also look at materials.
Right, because, please. Important. And actually, we don't have many people who put the 4 foot fences out in the front. And I'm kind of glad about that. I don't want to tell people exactly what to do with their property, as long as we keep the look. So I'm okay. You just made me think when you talked about that inside and having been, used to have a home next to two rentals, you know, it was interesting that 4-foot fence really didn't hack it. So, I mean, one vote, these other guys, when they see what you got, may not care for it too much. I think the one we have is good, but I think you've opened some potential value that doesn't cost a lot of aesthetics, my opinion. So, I mean, I'm willing to listen if you guys come back and say, we thought about it, it stinks. Or if you come back
and
tell
us. I don't think they'll have us coming back with that because it is actually making a little more lax than what we currently have. So,
right.
I mean, certainly by extending it on the side, if the council thinks that's appropriate, particularly in between the properties, you know, not on the street side of the corner lot, then I think I could take that back. Again, I'm only one person, but I think certainly we could take it back and look at it from the P&Z. Because we did have a number of different opinions from leave it the way it is, it's perfectly good the way it is, mm-hmm. to let's go ahead and change it.
Okay.
So just getting some direction.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to add?
No,
that's
perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll revisit that and see if there's actually a text amendment that comes to us on.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Mayor, I have some easy comments if I could, if I may. Staff and legal needs some guidance. And here's what I'm talking about. Under the code right now, PZC is only responsible for reviewing, commenting, and reporting on zoning regulations and subdivision regulations. So in that sense, there is no business for the fence PTA or proposed text amendment, which is a Chapter 11 text amendment. There's nothing under the code why that even came into PZC to begin with. Third point is the Chapter 160D allows for council to broaden PZC's scope of review to all development regulations. If you recall, development regulations is broadly defined. It includes zoning, subdivision, stormwater, which you may want to carve out. The list goes on. There's quite a minimum housing code. There's quite a few. It's probably half of what's of the code chapters as it currently stands. So, and finally, there's no clear roadmap in the code other than zoning and subdivision for simple amendments to the code. The practice is you bring it to town council, but in reality, what's going on is for the fence amendment, it got circulated to department heads, but not legal, and I think we corrected that last meeting. John agreed to conclude legal in that publication. But in theory, that should have come to you all automatically, and there's nothing in the code that says one thing or another either way about that. So what I want to know is, does council have any consensus or instructions or opinions about a couple of things? Amending the code to provide a clear roadmap on how to amend the code for text amendments other than development regulations, for example, standard text amendment, we could require that to be circulated as it is to all department heads and legal. It can come directly to council after that. And then likewise, does council have any opinions or consensus on whether PZC should be looking at things other than zoning and subdivision, other development regulations? Right now, it's just not clear. We're having some confusion, and confusion is not good.
Okay, so the question is, we need a process to continue to work beyond.
Do you want a process for two questions? Do you want a process in the code that clearly defines what you need to do to amend the code for amendments other than development regulations? Second question, do you want PZC to expand its scope of review and comments to other development regulations besides just zoning?
Okay. If PZC does review it, then they'll make a recommendation. They would just make a
non-binding recommendation.
For or against renewal.
Just like we do for zoning.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd be more appropriate.
I'd be leading that way because I think we have a very intelligent group of people in our P&Z, and they give us some good things to think about. I know that I would not come up with some of the solutions. I would not necessarily look at 20 communities. So, right? So from my perspective, I think that's something we need. I don't know how you gentlemen feel. What do you think?
If you want to, David, I was thinking if you were leaning that way and carve out stormwater.
That's what I would think, right? So I think what I would propose is you take it back to the department heads at a department head meeting and discuss the issues. If you give them a list, I think the department heads could say this one should be go through P&Z and these should not, because there may be some others, right? So I don't know if in our code, the civil, in our code to amend their fees for civil stuff is also in there, right? So P&Z shouldn't be looking at that, but Arlen and the chief
should.
Right
now your code doesn't have anything about how to amend civil, is what you call it.
Well, that's what I was asking, is like it's bigger than just stormwater, right? There's other things that, I mean, I think the civil fees are in our code, right?
The fence is a good example. I would not call the fence provision in question, I wouldn't call that a development regulation. It doesn't have anything to do with planning and development. It's just where you're going to put the fence and how high it's going to be. It's not in the zoning code.
No, I understand.
Something like that, I would take the opinion that it would come directly to council. PZC would need to look at that because it's not a development regulation. So that's an example of a text amendment that wouldn't require PZC to include.
Right, and
under the current situation.
Yeah, and so I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, I think if you had the department heads look, because the reason it went to P&Z is I'm pretty sure because John Batson put it on their agenda and routed it there. So
I think it requires a building permit too.
Right.
A lot of things are.
It is part of building code. Yes.
Right, and so what I think is if the mayor at a department head meeting listed, tell us the things that should not go to P&Z, and then we can make that process that you're asking for. Because I don't think it's just stormwater that the department heads would come up with, right? So I think there's fire inspection stuff in some of our ordinances as well that the fire chief would say, that doesn't go to P&Z, that comes from my fire inspector. And I'm pretty sure the police chief has some things that not going to P&Z, it comes to the police chief. So I think the department heads, if you said, here's all our ordinances, which ones should be routed through P&Z and which ones go somewhere else, I think that's the best way to do it. And then we could write that down and bring it back to council.
Yeah.
But I want the department heads' input because there are more things in our ordinances than just this fence thing.
Mayor, when do you meet with
usually call a meeting once a month if necessary. It's not always necessary, but I can call a meeting for this. Thinking that as we look at the ordinances, there could just be some sections of the ordinances we not even consider.
Right.
We don't have to go through all of them.
A lot of that, good point, and I can do that.
Right.
But it starts with looking at the definition of development regulations. For example, If the code said PZC reviews all development regulation amendments and reports to council, fire, the other example you gave,
police.
They're not development regulations.
Right.
But I do think getting the feedback from department heads is a great idea.
Yeah. Yep.
Might I also suggest that P&Z at the next meeting we can put on our agenda, and maybe we can also look at that and recommend things that would be appropriate for P&Z to look at too.
That's a great idea.
There is some conflict too when you look at the ordinance and look at the definition of the responsibility of P&Z. It's actually extremely broad. And then you have very narrow aspects in terms of what's actually written down in terms of kind of the roadmap. So there are some conflicts there. So I would certainly recommend that P&Z also might have some input.
Yeah, I think we can, between the department heads and PZC, we can refine it down to a list. But my opinion is that for the appropriate topics, it would be good to get the input of BCC consider acting on that text.
Right. Yep. And so right now, what we're depending on is the department heads to route it appropriately, but you're thinking we should have more firm process, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So we agree that we'll need a process. We need to determine for what.
We'll put this on the March agenda for P&D.
Okay. And I'll call the department head this month and or next month and talk about it.
I was at the meeting that with P&Z that the pension issue came. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they dealt with it rather than us.
I mean, sometimes that's... But I agree with you, John. I mean, that's just factual, right? There's a degree of continuity and an understanding of how all that stuff goes together. Regardless, we sit up here and we do have this responsibility, but I do not know P&Z like the chairman of P&Z. So,
and certainly everything that comes out of P&Z is a recommendation of council.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'll work up a list for the mayor's department head meetings and we'll pick it up in PCC next week, I think.
Okay.
When do you post, Monday or Friday?
Next Thursday.
Yes, yeah, I'm saying this Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday or Friday.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Jim. Just got yourself a little more work there.
Yes. Thank you.
No, thank you. Shoreline access and beach protection. Dennis.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. The Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee discussed a while back about putting together a manners document. We've all been at the beach, and we know good manners and we know bad manners at the beach. And we thought that we would attempt to put something together. So we also looked at several beach towns and see what they had to say about manners at the beach. We came up with a list of things that we put together. We would like to get for the town's anniversary a magnet that lists how to behave at the beach. We didn't want to say it was a manners document. We didn't want to insult people by saying, we have to tell you what, the appropriate manners are. So we, titled it How to Be a Beach Pro and suggestions on what to do. So this is an abridged form of what we are putting together as a larger document, still a one-page document with more details, that we ultimately would like to put on the town website, put in our beach brochure that the community puts together, and circulate to rentals and other places like that. So we'd like to get this magnet ready for the town anniversary that we can hand out at that point. We envision most of the rental units and other people picking them up, putting them on the refrigerator, whatever you want.
Right.
We don't want to insult people. We don't want to offend people. We tried to draft this in a way that just says, look, this is common sense. And just a reminder of, things to think about when you go to the beach. So if you've had a chance to review it, we'd like your permission to go ahead and order those magnets. It'll be somewhere in the order of, we've got a couple of ideas, somewhere between 50 cents, 75 cents per magnet to do this. We order a couple hundred magnets. But once we have permission, we can go get a quote and see exactly what they would cost.
I do like the way you came up with manners count, right?
Yes.
And actually, some of those I'm guilty of. I need to change my practice. So you don't mean to shake my towel off next to the guy laying in front of me all covered
you're
with suntan oil.
Vaping on the beach?
No.
Yeah, there are a few things. And most people are very good. I mean, we know that most people are good. But occasionally, crowded weekends and beaches get crowded. People sometimes just don't think. And so that was the purpose here. It's just a pleasant reminder to people. I think if... especially in the rental units, if people see these things, they'll maybe think about it a little bit. But we'd also, again, want it on the town website. easily accessible that people can see if they're looking to visit us.
Yeah, that's where we would add some of the things that we have on the signs, likely.
Right, we'll add more to it.
Yeah.
And we'll bring that to town council as well.
Yeah, maybe add fill in your holes or...
Well, yeah, and actually there was a debate about, we have beach regulations which are published everywhere, and we wanted to make sure that it's more leaning towards things that people don't think about. We don't necessarily have a regulation. For instance, we have no regulations against smoking, but we know that you can smell smoke hundreds of yards down the beach if the wind's blowing, right? Feeding the seagulls, we don't have any regulations
to prevent you from feeding seagulls. It's smart not to feed seagulls.
But those are the types of things that we thought we would try.
How do you guys feel about this?
I think it looks great.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah.
I think it's great. You can put on that what you can get on that one sign and be my guest. Right. So, well, I guess maybe we need to tell them to go ahead and do it with a motion.
Yeah, make a motion to approve magnetic wording for being a beach pro. Great job by your team.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you, Dennis.
And then just one update. Joseph mentioned last town council meeting that we had completed our audit inventory of the signs on the beach. I'm in the process of getting quotes for all of those signs. I am going to request that we set up an inventory. We have excess signs. We've been doing this sort of just ordering the number of signs that we needed to replace what's missing. I think we need a good inventory. Store them over at Public Works, and they can just replace those when we let them know that there are signs that are missing. So I don't know exactly what the cost will be. I'm working on those quotes now, but we'll get them to you and try and get them up before Easter. I'll work with Public Works to make sure we get these up.
So I assume you'd be looking at some percent, I don't know, 5% extra signs or something like that?
Yeah. Well, it depends on how many signs are out there. But, this year we lost, 20, 30 signs at least. I don't have the exact number in front of me. But some are more susceptible, protective dune signs, we lose those frequently. We lost the number of the marker signs, the mile marker signs.
Oh,
we lost
yeah.
the number of other signs, especially on the south end, south of the east.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Dennis.
I don't have the price.
I think they're 75 cents.
75 cents. So I'd also like to order, while you're doing this, from Sea Grant. They have magnets that tell you how to get out of the rip current and what to watch out for. We've had some. We've used up that inventory. I'd like to order 200 or 300 of those for 75 cents a piece. So.
Make a motion. We approve the magnets for riptides because I think they're very important.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that's a good idea, too. Thank you, Dennis. Okay. Stormwater Committee.
So we met, we really talked about the beach wall. Hello?
Excuse me.
Yes.
So can whoever is speaking that's not on council get closer to a microphone? Because all we hear is garbled.
Okay, we will ask them to do that. They were standing in front of the microphone. Mandy's going up to check it right now.
The battery died.
The battery died, so we'll get that fixed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for letting us know.
Okay, so Stormwater Committee, we met. We're still waiting for the state to approve our permit application for renewing our permit for stormwater. So the town's permit is basically extended. And we hope they will do that pretty soon. As soon as they do that, we will then be bringing changes to the stormwater ordinances to come into compliance with that permit, because there have been significant changes. If you council remembers, I talked to you about a year and a half ago when this came up, and actually we added two agenda items in this meeting based off that from some stuff that we got from the state in the last week that Jim Elders and I'll talk about. But we meet next week. We'll be continuing to talk. The committee continues to talk through issues. We're mostly focused on the pond issues in town, and really that's to make sure that the town has the documentation from each of the pond owners in town to satisfy the state when we get audited again. But I think the agreement that we will look at under old business 9.4 is a good agreement for the town and is a model for how we work with other HOAs when we find maintenance issues that start in the exit of a pond owned by an HOA and then connect to a town pipe to continue to discharge. So it's a model for how we can work on those issues in partnership with our HOAs to make sure that the stormwater systems are healthy. That's okay. All I have to update.
Okay. Moving on to department head business. Administration.
I'll take that.
All right.
A future project's going to involve looking at personnel policy in general and updating it, revising it where it needs to be, but that's a future project. I had an occasion to look at one or two provisions in the personnel policy and something caught my eye, and it's the voluntary resignation without notice provision that you got up on the screen. And you'll see the bottom is the proposed amendment and the top is the current. I felt, based on experience in other jurisdictions, that the current provision lacked.
Can you still not hear? Is that what you tried to say?
This is on.
Andy, can you check? Okay, thank you.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Now the green light.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you. The current provision for voluntary resignation without notice, based on some experience I've had in two other jurisdictions, is insufficient in that it only covers somebody not coming to work when on the schedule. It lacks two things. It lacks situations where someone is absent and without approved leave, we don't know what's going on, and 3 days goes by, and we still have no word. It also lacks due diligence on our part to try to contact that employee by email, phone, or address. And literally, I've had three occasions where this provision resolved disputes, personnel-related disputes, so it's a very useful provision. I just felt it needed those two additional dimensions to it that the current version doesn't have. This has not gone to PZC, so you all can act on it, and as you deem fit, and if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer you.
I did have a question, Jim. You picked three unexcused absences in a row, right? Any reason you didn't say three unexcused absences? Suppose somebody takes 2 days off every week for a couple of weeks. It doesn't apply to him. Now, he could be fired for other reasons, I've seen.
Yeah, he'd be fired for attendance.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's covered under disciplinary actions. And
okay.
Provision. I think what this does, this is a tool that for when we don't know what's going on, but we don't have to tolerate the situation.
Okay. Okay.
And this is, I mean, Jim, right, this is consistent with what I've done.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. Three days is in what you got.
But it's not required. So if no. It turns out the person had a car wreck or something, there's no requirement for termination. It's right. Just allowed. Yes.
Yeah, it's discretionary.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, we don't have to have a public hearing on this because it's personnel policy, correct?
No, it's yet correct.
I make a motion to approve as given to us by the attorney for the proposed amendment.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, thank you, Counselor. Building Inspections Department.
Good evening, Council. Sorry, John's away at ComEd. So we just had one update on the ADA access beach mats. We did file for the CAMA permit today. So as you already know, that will be denied. And then once that's denied, you can apply for the variance. And
Okay, that's it.
Questions?
All right.
Can you forward me a digital copy of that application?
Yes.
Okay. Finance Department. Arlen.
So I just have two items. I guess one, I'll let you know that the grant with the state capital and infrastructure grant, we have a signed contract with them now, or signed agreement. Hopefully we'll get our funding soon. They want to do it before the end of February, so hopefully we will have that.
So do you still need more from me? So Jimmy and I have not met with the architect at this point.
At this point, I wrote up, based on what you gave me, a scope of work, submitted that, and that's what they're using for the actual agreement.
And so, Council, my question is, do you want Jimmy and I to do that before our March 28th budget retreat? Is that sort of the thoughts? To get some thoughts from them on that? Because that's part of the budget process, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So let's say we decide not to do what the intent was. We can still use the money for something. So
we're committed.
I'm not a question. Are we committed? And that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just curious.
So
they say you have unlimited amount of time to use the funds, but I will say the grant agreement expires June 30th, 2020.
Okay. No, I don't have a problem with our reason why.
You can amend it and have it extended. Yeah. But that's the way it's.
I request consensus from council for Jimmy and I to start to at least engage the architect for a better quote than what we started with, right? So we're under time crunch, so I did it, but I don't think my number's the one that should go through the budget process because it was pretty quickly done.
Yeah,
it may not be that good. I mean, I think it's okay, but it's not a great one, right?
Yeah, no, I think we need that number.
Okay.
But
I think that because we'll need to kind of look at how we're going to fund the remaining portion.
Yep. Right. Okay.
That award was $250,000, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, go ahead. My opinion is yes. Go ahead and meet with the architect.
Okay. So then Jimmy and I will work with Arlen to get that set up in the next few weeks and then we'll start getting a better number. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. That's the first one. What do you got?
Second is our contract with Waste Management for curbside recycle collection. We have a 3-year contract that expires on June 30th of this year. So Mandy and I met with the Waste Management representative last week. And they're looking to see, do we want to extend or renew our contract for another 3-year period? There is a price increase associated with that. I sent something out to council, I think last week on that, but what the current rate is about 15% higher than what we're currently paying. So right now we have a base rate of $7.17 per can per month, plus a 10% fuel and environmental charge. So it's really a per cart charge of $7.89. That's going to increase to a base rate of $8.25 plus the 10% fuel and environmental fee. So it's really a monthly fee of $9.08. So increase of about $1.19 per month, or approximately 15%.
$15 a year per household.
Yeah, it's like a little less than 15 per household per year would be the
because we have to pass that on, right?
No, you don't have to, but that's been the practice that we've whatever the price charged by the vendor. That's what we passed on to the customers.
I emailed you, I think the same day you sent it out. I never heard about it. Do we have any other options?
Well,
are the other companies?
I would say we have three options. One is we renew it, based on their terms. And we did have them go back and try to rework it and try to lower the rate. That was not successful. But I kind of look at it, there's three options. Renew it this with these rates, do an RFP process, which I'm not sure if we're going to end up better. I kind of doubt it, but that would be a second option. Third option is to discontinue the service.
At the new rate, are we still lower than our neighbors.
Yeah, I tried to do just some real quick research. I didn't spend a lot of time trying to find what other towns are charging, but I saw something like, well, Nagshead, for example, they definitely have curbside recycle. Theirs is $9 a month. That was not taking into account any future increases. Again, we're looking for the next, this rate increases for the next fiscal year. So very comparable to what we're talking about. Carolina Beach, this is even their fiscal year 21 rate was $21.50 for both garbage and recycle combined, so $21.50 per month. So if I take into account our garbage rate and the increase in the recycle, ours would be $16.08 per month. So still significantly below, you know, those amounts.
But that's hard to judge since we do ours in-house and they're contracting.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. Right.
Now, changing the contract would require us to change all those cans.
Yeah, I mean, one, we'd have to go through that whole process, you know, solicit bids, and yes, if we were to change vendors, there'd be two separate processes. One is waste management collecting all the cans, and then whatever the new vendor is, you know, distributing them, so.
And I assume that missing cans, they'd probably be billing for?
That I'm not really sure, so. We really didn't discuss that at all.
Okay, well, if they are, they're like, what, $85 a piece? That's a couple of years worth of garbage collection.
We're not currently paying for the cans.
Yeah, that's included in the cost that we pay.
It is included.
So our residents don't pay for replacement of cans or anything.
Right.
Okay. Not like our garbage cart.
All right.
One of the things that's frustrated me, guys, is that Mandy and I met before COVID, I guess, started. And met with our rep, and she was supposed to get us information back that tried to give us some idea of how much contamination, how much is going directly into the landfill. Because when it's contaminated, it just becomes trash. I mean, it's not recyclable at all. So if we're doing a poor job of recycling, this is just an expensive way to pick up garbage. So that's just my comment.
Mm-hmm.
Getting our residents to do a better job is another fact, or getting our visitors to do a better job, because you know that a lot of that trash and a lot of recycling is not able to recycle because it's contaminated with food and other mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
So some of those issues we dealt with by doing away with the beach access cans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're
definitely identified as a contamination issue.
So, and what was the other option? We don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, discontinue. I don't really see too many other options besides the three that I just mentioned. So we just really need some guidance.
Well, discontinuing it is not really an option because I think our residents want it.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
think
as aggravating as it is, it probably...
I don't think
it'd be tough for a beach town to say we don't do recycling.
No, yeah,
that just would be wrong.
It's tough for anybody, you know. And then the other thing is, it's a pain to have to go through that process of.
Yes, I agree with you 100% on that.
Our concern too is that if we go, if we go out for bid, they're going to come back higher.
Yeah, that's really kind of. A little bit of research
we're not
that we've done.
In at this rate.
Yeah.
It's most likely that we're not going to get a lower rate anywhere.
Right. I agree with Arlen and Mandy.
Yeah. I think we ought to put this one to sleep.
Right.
What are you on that, Al?
Well, I'm just going to have to swallow real hard, okay?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I just. I'll just keep my mouth shut.
No, that's okay, because I mean our contract is really what? It's for pickup. It is not for taking to the everything that what you're asking for is what happens after they go through the garbage. That's a different part.
And in fairness to them,
yeah.
Curry Beach truck goes the truck comes to Curry Beach goes in and dumps on the floor at the recycling center.
Right.
Then it goes through the process. Well, right after a Wilmington truck comes through and a Leland truck comes through, now and there's no way.
The
you're just dumping this recycling right. on the floor, and then it's going out and going through their process. So
So I think we the reason they never answer us is I think we just answered it.
They don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah. But they'll be hopeful they just keep up where they'll accept glass, because like NAGSHAD had a big issue where their recycling supplier quit accepting glass completely.
Yeah, Greensboro did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in High Point, we had our own recycling center, recycling center. So we were able to tell exactly how many tons were going into the landfill with waste, right. But you can't hear. So.
Well, you would assume that they could say, look, we collected 50 tons of trash, and at the end of that 50 tons, there was 15 tons that had to go to landfill.
They should be able to give us some type of figure.
Like 20% or something like in general. But
they've not provided that.
But it wouldn't be specific to our town.
And
so
I just want to say too that 825 that I said per is the base rate. So this is just like the contract we had before. If the processing center increases what they charge waste management, there's a scale then of increasing in the base rate. And then there's also a potential increase annually for consumer price index changes too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So Arlen would like to know what to do. Do I have a motion?
Yeah. I make a motion. We give Arlen the authority to execute another 3-year contract with our recycling company.
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? All right, Arlen. Is that all you need?
That's it.
Okay. Fire department. No, I just left.
Chief just left.
The fire department. Yeah,
the
going
chief
down the
just
street
left for a fire call.
Police department.
Good afternoon. I was asked at our first budget meeting to look into digital signs on Fort Fisher Boulevard and get DOT's approval to see if we can put them out there. And the answer is yes, we can put them out on Fort Fisher Boulevard. We've ordered 2 signs already, and they should be here hopefully within, they said, 10 weeks. I was also asked my opinion of where they should go. This is strictly my opinion, but coming from Carolina Beach into Curie Beach, have one metal regular speed limit sign, then the very next sign, I think it's close to the ceiling, have the digital sign there, and then coming from the ferry into town, the first sign being a metal speed limit sign, the very next sign, which is close to Camp White, having that one be the digital sign. And then there's also some talk that there's possibly money from Bike Pedestrian Committee that they may have left over to purchase a couple more. If we do, I would suggest putting another 2 on each side of town.
Okay.
So. Bike Ped Committee has discussed, depending on how the crosswalk money shakes out, mm-hmm. if we have some left over, that we'd be open to helping out that way also.
Okay.
The only stipulations are we have to maintain the signs and put them up. So,
yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's already approved in the, you already got a budget amendment. And,
yes, sir.
I mean, I'm okay, Chief, with where you think they will do the most, unless somebody has a different opinion.
I agree.
Okay.
When they come in, I'll just work with Jimmy and make sure the pedestrian whoever is aware where they're
put them where you think they're best.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
Public Works. Jimmy, are you on the line?
I think he is.
He is on.
Okay.
You might have to unmute, Jimmy.
He's got a pretty big day tomorrow, so.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Give you one more chance, Jimmy. So we're just working through the normal issues. We've got a list from the council for the April event, so we're working through that, and then we still are short a couple of people because of different medical issues.
Okay. All right. Moving on, Recreation Department. Nikki.
First, I want to say we did host a successful 5K and Polar Plunge for the New Hanover County Special Olympics on Saturday. The police department was very busy during the day and they did an excellent job, as well as our fire department and public works in assisting with that. So thank you to them. And then there are two different items. The first is with the 75th anniversary, how we've been moving along with the plans very diligently, but there's a few items before we start advertising for these events that we do need to get some council approval on. So the first memo deals with all of the 75th events and the items in those that do need council approval. So the first would be the traffic garden that the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee wants to host. They would like to do that in Town Hall parking lot, and that's on a Saturday from 12 to 4. They would start setting up probably around 8 a.m. and then be cleared out by 5, 6 p.m. And that would just be the front part of the parking lot, and potentially like the spaces in front of the fire department would still be available for the fire team to park there.
Let's deal with these as they come up. So,
yeah, I make a motion to approve closing the town parking lot from the early morning hours through 6 p.m. on Saturday, April 9th, for the bicycle, pedestrian, and traffic garden.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
They do have some vendors and sponsors to participate in that event, too. Sorry, I should have done that. Yeah.
Make a motion we allow participation from vendors and sponsors.
Great. Thank
from
you.
12 to 4.
All in favor?
Aye.
And the second would be the weekend, the last weekend, so the big event, celebration weekend. So that is a Friday night concert and a car show, and then the Saturday street festival portion, so that would require...
The big band concert.
Big band, yes.
The big band concert. I'm looking forward to that. Well, from my perspective, Nikki, there wasn't parking here 75 years ago, and you didn't have to pay to park. I don't think we should do that. How do you gentlemen feel?
I agree.
So,
well, that's the third one. But the second one.
Yes. Oh, did I move ahead of you?
Yeah, you jumped.
I jumped.
So make a motion to close K Avenue east of Fort Fisher Boulevard, Atlantic Avenue, between K and L Avenues, from early morning hours Friday, April 29th through 7 p.m. on Saturday, April 30th, and allow the participation from vendors and sponsors during event hours 11 a.m. through 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, and the third item with the 75th, which is actually the mayor's idea, was to waive the paid parking fees for the two daytime events. The rest of the events are all in the evening or after paid parking enforcement, but the Saturday, April 9th, we have an event at the community center, and then the event here in the parking lot, and then Saturday, the 30th, is the all-day street festival that we want to encourage the public to come to.
So your request is to waive them all day, both of those two Saturdays, right? So I make a motion to waive parking enforcement throughout the town on Saturday, April 9th and Saturday, April 30th for the 75th anniversary celebration events.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Quick question, Nicky. If someone comes and tries to pay for parking, does it pop up as free to pay?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, I can find out. And yeah. I think they'll have to cut the thing off. There's something they can do on their end.
Okay.
Yeah. They can't get access.
Because remember, they were trying to pay after hours last year, so I think that they can flip something in there.
Yep.
So we'll check those in.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll report back on that. Thank you very much. And there is a page 2 of that document if anyone wants to review the actual events for the 75th, and those are in the minutes or the agenda. So we'll get the advertising for those out very soon. The second item is the Disabled Sportsman's Fishing Tournament. It's a long time event that has been held in Cary Beach, and this is the first year that we're hosting it that we have paid parking as well. And I think it was prior to my time at the town, it was approved that event, there would be no fees for our services for that event, but the paid parking obviously brings up a new point. So
I make a motion that we suspend parking fees throughout the town on Friday, May 13th for the Cape Fear Disabled Sportsman Fishing Tournament.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And do you need something separate for the changing the parking for handicapped placards?
We've always just put cones out. We have special sleeves that have handicap marking.
That's fine. I just need to know if you need a motion for that as well or not.
I don't think we have in the past, but if
I'm okay either way. I'm just asking, yeah, right? Yeah. Do whatever you guys need.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
We talk about this big party on the 29th and 30th, but we only excluded parking on the 30th.
The event on Friday is from 7 to 9 p.m.
So it's not the parking
we
stop.
Did.
Yeah, but it says we're going to close down. And
we need time to set up and clear out the area.
Okay. Thank you. Are you okay, John?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Gentlemen, I think we're going to need a 5-minute recess.
Okay. All in favor?
Yeah.
Head to the restroom.
Yeah, everybody race them to the restroom. Back in session. Brief recess is over. Okay, moving into old business. Electric bikes on the beach strand. I don't know if we have a recommendation yet.
We don't. We did meet with Carolina Beach to kind of gauge their concerns or what direction they were going in. And Mike, you correct me, police chief, correct me if I'm wrong, but it pretty much said we've had one complaint. They've had no complaints. And let's just kind of watch it and see how it goes. So.
Which way was the complaint? Somebody wanted to?
We have one complaint that there was someone riding a e-bike erratically on the beach. Oh. But that's the only complaint.
So it was a complaint against not doing it?
Yeah.
Instead of please let me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the point is that we're not banning it, we're not encouraging it.
Right. We're just going to kind of wait. We may have to come back, but at least we started the dialogue with Carolina Beach that we will get together and try to do something or come up with something to recommend to both councils that will be along the same lines.
All right. Our ordinance is not allowed, so if we do have an issue, we can go ahead and handle it.
So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we will put this on the agenda when you guys are ready.
Yeah.
Green space responses. Commissioner Ellen, you want to talk about your add-up?
I will do that.
All right.
Mayor Blazinski sent out a letter to the town recently talking about the 5 lots over off of Sandman that the town owns and whether or not people would like to have some disposition of those lots to keep a green space to sell the lots. And this day here was up through the first 95 responses. And down there at the bottom, you see there's about 75% prefer green. And you can reach through some or sell and put in pickleball court, sell and reduce your taxes. And various sundry items, but mostly green. Now this afternoon, we got responses 96 through 115. So between the emergency meeting and this meeting, I reduced that data also. And
hang on a sec.
Somewhere. Anyway, the green number dropped down to about 73%, and the sell went up from 8.5% to about 12%.
Okay.
So, without a whole lot of detail, without people want to read all the different responses, it's running 70%+ in favor of the town using that space for a park, green space, pickleball, benches, small gazebo, things like that.
Right. I think we got a pretty significant set of responses. We may get more, but it seems clear to me that the town would like to use that space as green space. At least that's what the democratic process would tell us here. We're in a budget process. As we go through the budget process, we will take a look at what it would take to get a professional estimate, or if we can put a professional estimate together for this park. And from there, we would follow the process, that is, design the park, take it to the public, let the public see what it is, take the recommendations, take their concerns, react to the recommendations and concerns as are reasonable, and take it from there. This will now be public record. I spent a little time with the Beach Walk HOA president, with Tracy Mitchell. She was interested in what was going on down there, and she was talking. I don't want to take any of her thunder. I don't know if she's done anything with that yet. She has?
Yeah. So both HOA have contacted me and said they would query their people about what they wanted.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of conversations in both HOAs, is my understanding. But, I mean, I don't live up there, so I haven't heard it. But I've heard from both HOAs that they're talking to their, I guess, their members. Is that what HOA? Their members, right? Yeah, their members. And I assume they'll convey to the town information when they have it. Okay. That reasonable?
Soon.
Yes, yeah, soon.
Okay.
Knowing some of the people and the responses that were sent to the commissioners, has the who it's from, the wording, all of that. I know that some of the people responding are members of those.
Yes, both of them. Absolutely.
As I recall, there was only one that said, personally, I feel da 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 da. As a member of the HOA, I would like to express that.
Yeah. So,
But, I mean, the good thing is the process is open. By putting it in the budget process and starting this early, citizens have plenty of time to give input to the council before we do anything.
Right. And there was discussion, I mean, a potential availability of some other land around that area.
Yeah.
That would come with certain conditions, I'm sure. So, okay, but that's the status on the green space responses. As usual, I'm pleased with the way the town responds to the questions we have for them.
So just separately on that, request that council asked, I think Nikki's the right person to reach out to New Hanover County, since Carolina Beach is asking for $3 million for a park. We should at least start engaging New Hanover County. Is there any opportunity to use county funding for a park if that's the way the council and the citizens end up going? We at least need to understand what the processes are to get into that. If you could reach out, Nikki. I think you're the right person. Maybe Arlen, I'm not sure, but between you guys, is council okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the county's process is for that.
I don't either. I just saw on the news that they asked for $3 million.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
Think we should at least ask, right?
Who is who's the government liaison? Tim Buckland. A phone call in Tim Buckland ought to get that answer. So you wouldn't have to deal with Parks and Rec. Let him find out where it is and he'll get you the truth. Okay. Smart Moves Consulting, Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations. Mr. Oliver.
Okay, so last month there was some, we needed to add not to exceed, an amount not to exceed in the contract. Mm-hmm. Our attorney has reviewed the contract and talked over with Smart Moves, and we have a finalized draft in the agenda packet for the contract. Everything is good to go. The final Smart Moves contract's ready for your signature.
Okay. All right.
We need a motion to approve you signing it.
I make a motion we approve signing the contract not to exceed $5,000.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. 9.4, storm agreement for maintenance Beachwalk HOA and Tonicry Beach.
Yep, so you have before you a pretty thick document. Really, there's two exhibits attached to it. The actual contracts between the town of Curry Beach and our vendor to repair the stormwater piping from the beachwalk exit across Settlers Lane through the parking lot and to the ditch on K Avenue. The attorney worked with me and Jimmy and with the Beachwalk HOA to make an agreement basically so that we can do the entire pipe, and then the portion of the pipe owned by the HOA based on the volumetric, and it's in the last part if you want to see the calculations, based on how much it costs to do that part, not to exceed $38,000 is the actual agreement. So I'm recommending, and I assume the town attorney will speak for himself, the town's approval of this stormwater agreement so we can continue the maintenance repairs on that pipe that we've been talking about for the last 14 months.
Just a couple of follow-up comments. Beachwalk has approved this. Mr. Craig, that's your last name, is here on behalf of the of Beachwalk and is ready for you to consider and act on. This is also the template that we can use in the future for similar situations. And finally, I just want to say that David was a great partner in this. He was always there. The engineering stuff freaked me. I could handle the contract. But it was a team effort. Also want to thank Beachwalk. They were very much a partner in this as well. So it was a good result.
Good. It's great when the community works together to get this done. Okay.
I'll second Mr. Haver's motion.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, I can sign
this. I think Jimmy had it scheduled for Wednesday or Thursday, so perfect timing. All right. Glad you approved it.
New business, moving on. Accept the resignation of Commissioner Joseph Whitley.
I'll make a motion that we accept Mr. Whitley's resignation.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Mr. Whitley left the council as of the 20th. So during the absence for the 20th until the new commissioner is determined, we will split some of these responsibilities and different gentlemen will go to some of the different meetings that were held by Joe Whitley. We will figure that out as we look at our individual schedules. The one that can work is that, David, you will be the liaison to the fire department.
Yes, sir.
Since you're there anyway as a volunteer.
Yes, sir.
And on the board. We should talk about the process we want to pursue to replace Commissioner Whitley. We have at least done this one previous time with some of the members on this council. And I'm willing to get opinions on how we should go forward. We have spoken with town council. Town council says it is the town councilor, says it is the town council's responsibility to pick this this individual. I think the last time we did this process, it was done very well because two of the people who did not get picked as a replacement commissioner are now on our commissioners, Pro Tem Alan Oliver and John Ellen, Commissioner John Ellen. So there's the process gets people's attention. So I would view the best thing to do is to follow that particular process. In general, it would be to advertise for a number of weeks in the Island Gazette, requesting a variety, some information on people who have an interest in being a candidate. Then it would involve interviews, interview by the council, with our true goal of next council meeting, interviewing, selecting and swearing in the individual so that they can participate in the budget process, the next budget process meeting on the 28th of March. So that's our goal. Gentlemen, you have any inputs on that process?
I think it's fine. I think sooner as we can get it out, Mandy can get it out, the better.
So I guess we need to direct Mandy what to put in the advertisement, right?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, my personal opinion is they need to do a resume of some type. That's what we did last mm-hmm. time. And then hopefully there's hundreds of people, but I don't think there will be, right? So I guess the question is, what's our process to weed that down to a reasonable number to interview, right? How do we do that before the next meeting? And what is allowed, town attorney, as far as if we advertise for an opening and then we review, and I don't know how we do it, review to decide how many to interview. Do we have to interview everyone if there's 50 people?
There's no legal answer to that.
Okay, so no guidance. There's got to be some guidance, right?
No, yes.
Okay.
In the following way, council shall appoint. There's provisions about how long the appointment will last. It's to the next election.
Yep.
Council statute doesn't say how you appoint, but I will tell you that everything you do with respect to appointing is open session material.
Yep.
Right down to voting.
Yeah, I'm fine. So then when we come to the March meeting, the first part should be, how do we determine? I guess I'm looking for the process. Like I said, I hope there's plenty of people that apply, but if there's only three, that's pretty easy. We would interview three. If there were 20, I don't know that we would interview 20. At least for me, I wouldn't. But I don't know how.
Mandy's probably, you want to jump in?
So my question is, if we do get a large number of applicants, as the information comes in, because I'm assuming it's going to come to me, as the information comes in, can I share that amongst the commissioners?
Yes.
And then they can kind of review it on their own mm-hmm. and have in their mind for themselves before they come in
right.
for that meeting who they want to interview, and then you guys can kind of bring it together from there at that meeting?
I'm fine with that. I just don't want to break any rules.
The only
but
point
that
is,
to me, like,
how do we,
20 come in the room and then we tell three of them we're going to interview them?
I would think prior to that, each commissioner could come to me and say, this is my...
That's what I'm asking. Can we say this is the top three?
I think the way that you would want to consider proceeding based on the unknown factor of how many interviews you may have in front of you, you could set up... There's basically two ways to proceed. I'm not talking about the voting. I'm talking about the consideration.
Right.
One is to assume that there's going to be a reasonable number, and I've never seen anything but a reasonable number for the past 20 years. Interview them in open session and bring forth motions, whether to appoint that individual or not. The alternative is to set up a nomination committee to review everything and bring forth the recommendations.
The nominations committee meets in a public meeting.
Yes, it's open meeting.
Because the only thing that I'm concerned about is, how do we tell, if you get a lot of folks, when do we tell the ones that don't need to show up, they don't need to show up, because we can't get there without a public meeting.
You'll have to have a special meeting.
Let's have a special.
It's open session no matter how you slice it or dice it.
Right.
I don't know that you would... First of all, there's no black and white answers to these questions.
Okay.
Second of all, I don't know that you need to tell anybody whether to come or not. If you have a nomination committee, you're going to consider the report that the nomination committee brings to you. Or you still want to interview, I see.
But if we have a nomination committee, we won't have someone here in time for the budget meetings.
Right.
That's the process.
And your question is more geared towards interviews.
Right.
It is.
How do we go from 15 to 3?
Experience tells me that you're going to get 3 or 5 applicants.
Okay. Well, Then that's fine.
If it's more than that, then you could just continue them to a special meeting to complete the interview process and then engage in voting by motion or ballot.
Okay. I mean, right. I'm fine. I just wanted to ask the question, right? So it yep. could be we just get one and then we have to decide how okay. that works out either.
So all would be present then right. at the council meeting?
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, they don't have to be, but I would assume they would come if they wanted the role.
Right.
You would hope,
right?
Right? Yeah.
So then all of them, well, okay, so the questions that you guys have, generally this was published in the Allen Gazette, and it was an ad that was put in there with a list of questions that said, you know, please respond with your resume and in the answer the questions. But we're up to 23 questions. I don't know that I should publish 23 questions in the Allen Gazette.
Well, you could put them on the website and refer them to the website.
My suggestion is we can create a Cognito form and advertise it for people to come to the website and create
exactly right.
and submit
That's right.
the form that way in right. addition to their resume.
Now, we could tell them that at least the 10 questions that are here are responses we'd like to see, and the rest are questions they may get in the interview.
So we don't like to share those with them now.
Well, I mean,
again, there's no black and white, so
yeah, you could have some basic questions out there.
We've got 10 questions here. We're looking at the letter of interest, accepting letters of interest document, Mandy, you sent out to us
from previous. Right.
From previous.
There's been some other questions.
I know that, but that's more questions to ask during the interview process, is the way I see it.
Okay.
Now, since there's no black and white, would it be just as a debate between us? It would seem to me there may be a leaning or a preference to individuals who have had leadership positions within the town, and probably we should tell them that.
I think honestly it's going to be, so one, I'm fine if they answer all the questions, whichever forms you're using, right, because I'm jumping back and forth. I think if they need to be in the week before the council meeting so we can review them, and then at the council meeting we can discuss, you know, who we're going to interview or ask questions for. And some people may get one question, some people may get a bunch of questions, and then just like the town attorney said, someone's got to make a motion, and then it's got to get seconded, and it's got to get at least 3 votes, right? Because I don't think if you got 2 votes for and 2 votes against,
majority vote.
It has to be a majority. So yeah, I got 3 out of the 4 of us. Mm-hmm. I think we can get there, right? So we'll just see. If we get a lot of people, I think we may at the beginning of the meeting say this is the process we're going to use and propose the process instead of interviewing 20 people if there's 20 people.
Having been through the last process.
Yes.
I feel fairly strongly, y'all. Caveat that started this statement, that during the interview, whatever question gets asked to each one, and we do it similar to visions and views that the different town organizations interview the potential candidates for an election in November. When I was interviewed before and got they did it alphabetically. Well, Ellen came early in the list, so I stood up and got a bunch of questions. All the people behind me got to hear the questions, see the response of the members as I answered the questions, go, oh yeah, they liked that one, but they didn't like this one. And so everybody beyond me got the benefit of listening to me have all the questions.
And good
so
point,
I
Joe.
Think it should be question 1 goes to A, B, C, D, and question 2 starts with B, C, D, E, question 3, C, D.
Okay, that's a good point.
What? You all are going to set the policy. One thought that occurs to me, once you develop a list of questions you want, why don't you have them answer those questions in writing as part of the application process
right.
and then come to the meeting and give a brief statement, and then you can ask any supplemental questions you may have.
Yeah, that's what I think too, right?
Okay,
yeah,
that's,
that would be a...
And then we could have went through them and, I mean, at least for me, I'm going to put them in order based off their answers. And then if I need, you know, I'll have like, okay, I need to ask more about this or something for the one or two people.
Okay, so what I think I heard is we're going to send a letter to the Gazette requesting people who are interested to go to our website and respond to the requirements that we have. We will then, at least a week before, get those responses for a chance to interview them, I mean, for a chance to review them individually.
At the meeting. Oh, no, 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 excuse me,
no, before the meeting.
Yes.
And then when we get to the meeting, it could be that we all say, you know, I have a question for these particular individuals.
Right.
But well, allowing each person to get up and give a statement.
Yeah, right? I would, at the meeting, handle it that all the each applicant gets to give an opening statement. Of course, if they're not present, they don't have to worry about that.
Right.
And then as after they finish each statement, if the governing board members have supplemental questions, ask them, and then go into the selection process.
Yep. Okay. I agree with that.
That way we don't have to pick a number.
Right, yeah. That's right.
All right, so the questions that we're going to put out there, we need to finalize our list of questions by when, Mandy?
Tomorrow.
Okay, well, you...
I mean, honestly, because if we're running it on our website and we're running it in the Island Gazette, we're technically only going to get, what, if we get it in there tomorrow afternoon?
3 weeks.
I can't run it tomorrow, so I can't run it until next Wednesday because the deadline's already over for this week.
So we're looking at maybe 2 to 3 weeks in the island.
But you can also send out to our email distribution
list. And
we
will.
Right, so you can get the word out faster than that.
Yeah.
If you want to try to winnow down the questions tonight?
I think...
And staff can take it from there?
I was not trying to dictate 25.
No, I know that. Yeah.
Right. I just wanted to keep in mind how we were going to advertise.
Yeah, I'm fine with the ones that Manny sent us, but I mean, I'm fine with all of John's too. It won't take them that long to answer these. Some of them are 2 years, and then, you know, your address, you can blow through.
Right.
So the full 23 is not that long.
I think you had two.
Alan had a good one.
I had an additional one we need to add to 15, but you've got that. You know, they talked about liaisons and meetings with that.
Right.
I didn't know how the one question about economic...
development.
Describe economic development, because we really don't have any economic development. We don't... In the sense of true sense, we don't get a lot of that.
Is that question 22?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you
but I didn't say it was a bad question. I just didn't know whether we needed it or not.
You want to add to 15 and council provide a consensus on 22?
I support that. I'm okay with that. Okay.
So remove 22?
Yes. Yep.
All right. And add 15. All right, we can do that. And then we'll get it out on the website. We'll advertise it as much as we can in the Island Gazette between now and then. So what's our deadline?
When's our next council meeting?
Isn't the next council meeting the 21st?
Do you know what?
Okay, 21st. 21st. Make sure we add that second part on 15. 15.
Yeah, I got it on here.
Okay.
Yeah, the...
Yeah, the 14th.
The week before the
14th.
So we need it by the 4th. Deadline's the 14th.
5 p.m. the 14th.
Yep.
March the 14th.
Yep.
That's my birthday.
At 5 p.m.
Happy birthday.
And the good thing is the website will show if they met the deadline or not.
Yes, right? It will.
Do you want to add a sentence that late applications will not be considered?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes.
So March 14th is going to be the deadline?
Mm-hmm, at
5 p.m.
So that I'll have them all out to you guys on the 15th.
Yep. Okay.
That gives us a week.
Is that correct? Hopefully there's like 30.
You are drinking.
I know, I think I am, but you know, I'm always optimistic.
Because
then I'll encourage them to
run my seat. Mr. Mayor, did you want to write a letter to go with this?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
And I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Thank you.
Discussion. Oh, we did the discussion on the vacancy. Stormwater permit fees, David, 10.3.
Right, so as we've talked about the state continuing to push more stuff down to the town, last week the Cove developer requested the state to transfer ownership of their stormwater system, which is only pipes, so it does not have a pond, but it has pipes underneath the road, to the HOA. So they've just formed their HOA. He sold the last place. He's getting ready to do roads. And so then the state informed the developer that, no, we don't do that. Curie Beach is doing that. And so I immediately contacted the town attorney, because the actual initial stormwater permit was issued by the state, and I wasn't sure if we had authority to do transfers. Right. So we researched that last week. So both myself and the town attorney went through that, and we now believe we do have the authority to do the transfer.
There's still some ambiguities in the controlling documentation that I need to analyze, but that's the direction we're moving in. But regardless of this specific instance, it's fairly clear that we have the authority, or that the authority has been delegated to us, to issue stormwater permits and to handle transfers.
So to do that, we have pulled the actual transfer documentation from the state website. We actually got them to send it to us, and right now the town attorney is going through that to make sure that we do it properly, right? So there's some significant issues. Basically, an engineer is involved to say that the stormwater system is to the current requirements, and then he sends that to the town, and then the town evaluates his permit or his report, and then the town actually signs off that, yes, it can be transferred to the HOA, right?
And again, this is a departure from the regional office handling those reviews for us. We've been informed that they're not going to do that anymore.
Right.
So we would need a professional to do that review.
Right. And so we looked at what the state actually charges for that transfer permit. It's $505 because it's right on their form. So my recommendation to council as we continue research is if we set a stormwater transfer fee permit of $505 of fee for just transfer.
That's fine. Stormwater transfer.
Permit transfer fee. There you go. Yeah. He told me how to say it right, and I didn't get it. So stormwater permit transfer fee. And so what that will allow us to do once we confirm all the stuff, so we'll take the state's transfer permit. The town attorney working with me in the state is translating it to be a Curie Beach transfer permit. Once we have that, we will then be able to give that to the developer and the HOA for them to fill out. They already have their engineer that's submitted the report and who's asking them to get the transfer. I told them we definitely wouldn't be ready to do that until the March meeting because we have to approve the transfer permit. Mm-hmm. But at this meeting, I make a motion that we set a stormwater permit transfer fee of $505, which matches the state fee, and which we would use if we were required to have a consultant review the documentation. And I think that will cover it, and then once we get into it, we'll come back during the fee process for 2022 to make sure that's the right number. This will be the first chance we get to figure that out.
And I'll note that you've already got stormwater permit fees built into your fee schedule at the present time, so this is just an item that will come up that's missing. And whenever the developer wants to turn it over to the HOA, it's a transfer. So we need to provide. Stormwater has heated up in terms of legal, I guess.
Yeah.
We've got this situation where we need to analyze some lingering issues. We've also got to tweak and revise the stormwater ordinance currently in place, all in conjunction with the state approving the our stormwater management plan. So these things are moving to the front of the stove, and this is a step in time to provide for the transfer and to help offset the cost if it goes to a consultant by the establishment of a fee, which is really the only item missing from the stormwater fee stormwater-related fees that are already in the fee schedule.
So is this strictly an administrative function? Do we have any liabilities in this function?
It's administrative from our end, but there may be situations where we have to go to the consultant on technical issues.
Okay, well, we have time.
Motion.
Yeah. Okay, we have a second to the motion, which is the $505 fee. All in favor?
Aye.
Now, I've got one other comment. The consultant that the town will eventually hire or go into an agreement with is an engineer. Therefore, that contract or the selection of an engineer is subject to specific procurement requirements. Doesn't have anything to do with numbers, thresholds, type. It has to do with the Mini Brooks Act, which says that if you're going to hire a surveyor, an engineer, or an architect, which I keep that in mind when you talk about green space, you need to do an RFP process. However, if the cost of that contract is less than 30, we can do a very simple 5-minute paper chase exempting that agreement from that statute. So what I think someone needs to start doing, whether it's Rob and Jimmy or Councilman Hagler, start making some inquiries about two engineering firms that let's lock this in, because we're going to get a situation where we're going to need them eventually.
Yep. You tell it more of our own call type.
I think that's how.
Yeah, so when we talked about it, and this will come up in the budget process, we talked about as we get through this with the state and try to figure out, does it make more sense to have it in-house or contracted? I think, at least right now, it makes more sense to have it contracted based on the size.
Yeah.
And so the plan was, you know, ideally they would have already approved our plan. They should have approved it in December, right? And then the very next step was to take that plan to the Stormwater Committee to review anything they recommend we change, and then bring that to council. And when we did that, get into the budget process for how we staff to manage to the plan. And so we're kind of behind because of the state, but Jimmy and my plan is, once the state tells us, yes, that's what we want you to do, then we'll have to evaluate, okay, to do this, that's when we do the RFP. I think we do an RFP to the stormwater engineers in the area and say, okay, to manage this plan for us, what's your proposal?
You right? can do an RFP, or you can just make simple inquiries about,
right,
are you going to charge a flat fee or an hourly fee?
Right. Because
then, once you have that data, you can go back and look at your history since 2007, which I think is zero,
right,
in terms of permits or transfers.
Well, that's because we weren't doing them. We were still letting the regional office do them. That's the issue.
Yeah, but I think around 2007, that.
No, I know, but the regional office still kept doing them. That was the issue, right? And so, like, there's probably only been three since then anyway. The development over here, the whatever those little condos are right there off Settlers Lane.
Hickory Village Way.
Yeah, what's that? I can't remember what it's called.
Seaview,
thank
Seaview,
you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Seaview.
Building inspections.
So
Seaview and the Cove are the only two since 2007 that I know of. I wish John Basson or Jimmy were here.
I think that's about right.
I think that's correct.
There may be one more, but the point is, let's say an engineer comes back and says, well, we'll do it for $250 an hour. You can do the math. If you've done two permits or transfers within 3 years, you can make a finding that certainly that contract's probably going to be less than 30, therefore you can exempt it.
Yeah, well, there's other issues, right? So the state, the annual audit now of all the pond maintenance and all the other stuff, the state is saying, at least in the plan, that we're responsible for. So. But I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
So there's some other issues in our plan that we have to look at and say, this is how much time it'll take. But I agree with you. I think it'll be under 30.
Below 30, we can just paper chase them or do an RFP if you need to go.
Okay. But we understand we got to do that.
Yep.
So thank you, Counselor, for helping us continue to fix that.
Okay. Next would be mayor updates. I don't have any additional updates. Commissioner items?
Here.
No, John?
No, David?
No, here.
All right. We do not have a closed session scheduled, so I will accept a motion for adjournment.
I will make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.